Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402, but I kind of guess you all know that since they're already blocked up. Hey, thanks for joining us today and our crew. Frosty, good morning.
Good morning. You look a little bit lost this morning.
Well, it's because I took the sign down that I read every morning about KQMS. I'm like, I'm glad I found it here.
It's in your head.
It's in my head.
It's locked in your brain.
It's locked in my brain. Okay. I'm just repeating to you now. Okay. And, of course, my soul major, Linda.
Good morning. Glad to be here and welcome North State. It's 42 degrees if you're just waking up and tuning in. 8:07. Carl and I wanted to share with you that yesterday we drove down to Prime 11 Cinemas, and we really wanted to go see Slumdog Millionaire because I don't know about you, but for me, when it comes to Academy Award time, I'm always curious as to the films that are chosen as the top films. And, of course, I've got friends down in L.A. that are in the business, and I ask them because they go see all the films constantly. It doesn't matter. It's not just the blockbusters. They see them all. So we went to go see Slumdog Millionaire. And first of all, it's a wonderful theater. The Prime 11 is very clean, and it's just really nice. But the movie, I would highly recommend anybody see it. Based, of course, out of India, and it
Mumbai.
Was, yep.
Which used to be Bombay.
Yeah.
Which was just the host of a terrorist attack a couple months ago.
Well, let's get back to the movie.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so. Anyway, it's the movie deals in on the level of why you would want to go see a movie. It's a feel good movie. It's a good versus evil.
It
good,
is
good winning out. It's got tenacity. The lead character is tenacity. His passion. It bottom line, it's do the right thing. And you know how we always finish our shows.
Yeah, and it was doing the right thing. And the other thing, too, is that because it comes out of Bollywood, which is the Indian equivalent of Hollywood, they don't have a lot of things in there that you would ordinarily associate with Hollywood movies like gratuitous sex. And even the violence in it is such that, and there is violence in it, that it's not so in-your-face type violence. But it's maybe even worse because you don't see it and you just... Your imagination works just a little bit on this, but it was quite the movie. And you know, and I'd recommend it. You know, I thought, okay, I get drugged to some of these movies, but this one wasn't bad.
Well, bottom line for me is that I think the message was that when you have nothing except for self-respect and integrity, that's what you have.
That's what you got.
You know, the right thing to do is to not sell it out or give it away.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what? And rely on yourself. Rely on what you're thinking. Sometimes it's just written the way. All right. Hey, look, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. We have a guest here on the other side and the phone line's backed up, so I guess you all probably know this. Mary Stigl, our city council person, and she is here and ready to rock and roll along with the rest of us.
Drum roll. Mary Stigl on the other side.
All right. And this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on KQMS. 1400. Phone line's here, 221-1402. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hillside Drive. Joe and Shelly have got the finest walk-in humidor, anything you can imagine in tobaccos. They're even having classes down there to show you how to roll your own to help save money.
But you might want to go to Hilltop Drive, not Hillside.
Oh, did I say Hilltop? Okay.
Yeah, that's
Hilltop
okay.
Drive. Okay, that helps. It's the one with all those flowering palm trees out there. Anyway, Joe and Shelly got a great place there. Espresso Joe's for any type of coffee you want. Okay, Rose, start us off.
Morning, Glory.
Good morning.
Morning.
Got to have a chuckle, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm just glad my phone's working because yesterday I got a call from a multiple personality, and you know what happened?
What?
My caller ID exploded.
Oh.
Did you hear about the Happy Roman?
No.
He was Gladiator.
Okay. Bye.
I'm pulling up out back.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. That was borderline.
That was, I'm not sure if we should.
I think that was funny. Okay, it's anyway. Just cute. You know, it's cute and it's clean. Hello. I would like to introduce to you, or both of us would like to introduce who our guest is today, and that's Mary Stiegel. Give you a little background on Mary. She served as the executive director of Shasta County Women's Refuge, which is a private nonprofit agency serving victims of domestic violence and sexual assault from 92 to 2002. She's born and raised in Fresno. Mary earned a BA from California State University of Fresno and an MA in public administration from Golden Gate University. Since moving to Redding in 1992, Mary served as chair of the Mercy Medical Center Advisory Board, founding member and chair of the Assisting of Nonprofit Professionals Shasta Region, and founding member and chair of the Shasta County Health Improvement Partnership. She is currently a member of the Shasta Regional Medical Center Advisory Board, League of Women Voters, and American Association of University of Women. Mary has two sons and two grandchildren. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, and actually I have three grandchildren now.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's one of the best things that can happen to somebody.
Thank you very much for being on. We've got the calls are lit up, and people really want to talk to you.
Good. I'm here.
Do you have any, you want to start off with anything?
I think let's go.
All right. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning,
You're
Steve.
Up.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Mary, would you be willing to call for an immediate moratorium on utility shutoffs, abatements, and the threats of the $2,500 a day fines?
No, not immediately. I am very willing to take a look at all of those issues. In fact, that's what we expect the committee that we have put together to do, and we've asked them to come back to us within the next 4 to 6 weeks. But the reason, Steve, that I say no to immediately is that I think that we need to realize, and the council really needs to be educated on all of the sometimes unintended consequences of the actions that we take. I think this is a very complicated issue, and I am very much in sympathy with people's concerns about this issue. But let me just give you one example. I think that we really could seriously look at reducing the fines that the city of Redding is charging. And I know this committee will do that. But then on the other side, we have to realize that I know that somebody asked yesterday, well, where does that money go? Well, it goes into our general fund. And we know that it amounts to about $2.1 million a year. So we reduce those fines. And what happens is, It means that we as a city council have to decide then what do we cut back? What do we take out of general city services as a result? But I recognize that these are very extraordinary times and people are living under very extraordinary circumstances with the economy doing what it's doing. And we may have to take some extraordinary measures. But no, not immediately. I am not willing to do that without the information that I need in order to make an informed decision. Because we also have to realize, and I'm put in kind of an interesting place, because Linda read my resume. I think people who know me know I've spent a lifetime either working or volunteering in nonprofit organizations that help people. But I'm also now on the city council, and we're running the Redding Electric Utility as a business, and we must run it as a business. So I have to weigh those two things. And everything that we do impacts the ratepayers. So, I know I'm going on here, and I don't know what our time is, but I can say more about that if I haven't answered your question.
Okay, very good. I'm kind of dismayed that you wouldn't do that immediately, considering the plight that people are in the city, but I'll take your answer as it is and let somebody else have a crack at the show. Thank you very much for answering me. Carl, Linda, have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Bye-bye.
This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400. Phone lines here, 221-1402. If they're busy, keep trying. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Join us on the other side.
Good morning. You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott here on KQMS 1400. Now, remember, we want to let you know that we are now streaming live on KQMS.com. Anywhere across the country, you can turn on the computer and hear us, Free Fire Radio. Now,
that's for all you city employees that are sitting out there, can listen to what's going on in the show.
Yeah, but we do have a clarification. Now, I downloaded information on Mary this morning, just today off the internet. And Mary, I believe we need a clarification.
Right. I am no longer on the advisory board at the Shasta Regional Medical Center. That hospital, as people know, sold about 3 months ago, and the hospital has disbanded that advisory board. So, yes, I did serve, but no longer.
Thanks,
okay.
Mary. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. I want to thank all of you for taking our calls this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
That's what we're here for. Joe, it's your show. We just kind of have a radio station to let you go for it.
All right. Listen, what I want to talk about today is the regulation of REU. And if I could, first I'd just like to share a little research that I did, and then I have a couple questions for Mary.
Okay.
Go for it.
First, I want to mention that California Public Utility Code Sections 10001 through 10014 apply to a municipal corporation, a public utility like REU. Second, California Public Utility Commission regulates all private utility companies like PG&E. Now, the CPU Commission has advised me that city government would be the regulating and court enforcement agency for REU. Now, it is important to remember that CPU Commission regulating is what they do. Their time is dedicated to enforcing codes and regulations on private utility companies and investigating customer complaints. No disrespect intended, but I'm having trouble believing that City Council, with all of their other responsibilities, is qualified or has the time to properly regulate REU, and it appears to me that basically REU is regulating itself, very unusual to say the least. Now, I could be wrong, so I have a couple questions for Mary.
Well, could I clarify, maybe explain that a little bit for
sure.
You? The City Council's role is to set policy for the City of Redding, including Redding Electric Utility. It's not our job to oversee the day-to-day management of it. So, for example, the policies that we're talking about now that have to do with abatement, fines, and so on are set and voted on and agreed to by the City Council, and then it's REU's job to implement those policies. So when the CPUC tells you that the City Council oversees the public utility, that's absolutely correct. And in fact, that's one of the things that I think is very important that we set that policy. It's what sets us apart from an agency like PG&E, who is answerable only to its shareholders. The Redding Electric Utility, of course, is answerable to all of the citizens of Redding who use our electric power. So in the broad sense, we do manage the Redding Electric Utility by setting policy, but we do not go in and manage the day-to-day operations.
Okay, that isn't what I meant.
Okay.
For instance, let me give you an example.
Okay.
If a PG&E customer has a complaint and they cannot get satisfaction from PG&E, there is a commission that enforces state codes, and there are state codes that also apply to REU. I don't think they're the same, but there are. My example here is if they can't get satisfaction, if they feel that PG&E has broken state law, they can go to the commission. They oversee. Do you understand
yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
They can go there and they can place a complaint, and the commission will investigate PG&E or whatever private utility. One of my questions for you is, if an REU customer has a complaint as such, who do they go to?
Well, one of the first thing they could do is go to our city manager, of course. And but if even at that point they're feeling that they're not getting satisfaction, or any council member for that matter, I'm listed in the phone book. We all have email addresses, so certainly to any city council member. But specifically in the cases of issues of abatement or that kind of thing, which we have been discussing, we have a citizens review board made up of three individuals in this community who will listen to both sides of the issue and make a decision one way or another. But they are not city employees. They are not elected officials. They are individuals that live here in the community and listen to what people are concerned about.
Okay. My next question, actually, they're kind of three rolled into one, okay. And that is, are council members familiar with these state codes that apply to a municipal-owned utility? Does the council make sure these codes are enforced? And how is the city able to do that, only meeting twice a month and without allowing REU to regulate itself?
Well, Joe, in all honesty, if I told you that we were familiar with all of those, I wouldn't be being truthful with you. That's one of the reasons why we have the staff we do. We have an excellent city attorney who is aware of and or can find out about these things very quickly for us. And we have an excellent utility director. And we have to depend on our staff to help us. We are a part-time city council. And so for me to tell you that I know what all those codes are and could explain them to you would not be being genuine.
Hey, okay. Joe, we've got to take a hard break here, but thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Obviously, you've done a lot of research on this.
I have.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay. This is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Keep calling. If you get some busy signal, we'll get you on as soon as we can. Join us on the other side.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Bott. It's 45 degrees. The time is 8:31. If you're just tuning in, this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Now, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. We were just there yesterday. They have a brand new shipment of pearls. Fabulous. Locally strong. Great deals. If you're a pearl lover like I am, go there for the great deal. 2225 Hilltop Drive. Now, let's get back to business. We are here with Mary Stiegel today, who is our guest, and let's go to the phones.
Tim, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to talk about Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm a small business owner in the community, and I provided services to the hospital, and, well, I continue to under the new Prime company, but SRMC currently owes me about $23,000. And I talked with someone else in the community the other day that is owed about $8,000. And I know that, you know, the city of Reading is owed a few hundred thousand dollars. And I'm just wondering, you know, how many businesses in the community were affected by this?
Mary?
I have no idea. I do not know how many businesses have been affected. I know that probably as much as you know, Tim, and that is that the new owners have said they're not responsible for the bills that were accrued by Shasta Regional Medical Center under the previous owners. And, you know, I don't like it any more than you do, but I'm not connected with Shasta Regional Medical Center, and I'm not in a position
Did they declare bankruptcy? The last one?
Yes.
They did.
That was my understanding.
Tim, the only thing I could think of is if they declared bankruptcy, then they have a list of their creditors.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, probably their creditors range up in the millions.
Right.
I mean, millions of dollars for some of them all the way down to, you know, to you, at, you know, thousands of dollars. Unfortunately, I don't know where you could go to, but, you know, we've got, you know, it's starting next month in February, we're having one day a month we're going to have. It's called Ask the Lawyer. And we're bringing in a lawyer here that people can ask questions like this too. You know, what's your redress for something like this?
I mean, we're already pursuing that through legal channels. But I guess it's just, you know, I've been a member of the community, grew up here locally, and do business in the community, and I guess it's just, you know, how many businesses were affected by this in the community? I would think probably several.
I would think probably more than several. I would say dozens and dozens of them, because, you know, they're just like you. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a medical center. You don't expect them to go out of business.
Right.
And
right.
Then when they do, and you know, I see what Prime is saying, and say, hey, look, that was, why should I pay the bills for the, you know, for the last guy that ran it up? I mean, but on the other hand, it doesn't help. Sure as heck doesn't help you or the other people that are involved in this.
You know, all I can hope is that Prime is successful and, you know, we can recover.
Are you doing business with them now?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, see, that's good.
Well, not
good.
Yet. We've signed a contract with them for services, but we have yet to do any business with them yet.
Well, I hope that I hope that works out, Tim.
Yep.
All right. And thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, have a great day.
You bet.
Also, we want to share with our listeners to go to freefireradio.com. We take your emails, and if there's something you don't want to say on the air and you want us to look into something and further investigate it, We are glad to do that. Again, we're a conduit for you. We're a voice for the people here in the North State. And so do so. If you're frustrated about something, you can't get an answer, we'll do everything we can within our power to help you find somebody to connect to.
In fact, our show Monday, we're going to have Dave Lanford, who's going to Shasta County, a veterans representative. And one of the things that one of our listeners brought up is the problem we're having with TRICARE and Medicare. And right now we have phone calls and we're getting responses from both Congressman Herger and Senator Boxer on this subject. Plus, and this doesn't just affect our veterans, it affects anybody on Medicare, and that's facing our older people 65 and over. And we're going to be addressing that Monday, along with a couple other things this coming week of subjects brought up by our listeners.
Daniel,
good morning.
Well, good morning.
You're up.
Do you have a question for Mary Stiegel?
Oh, I do, as a matter of fact. I was hoping maybe this would be addressed early on. Mary, I don't personally know you. I have met you, but my folks both know you quite well, and they're kind of appalled of some of the things people are saying. So I was hoping maybe you would just address a little bit how the decision came to change the city council meeting regarding this issue.
Sure, I'd be glad to, because I think there's been a lot of misinformation out there. I know that people are saying things like had closed meeting and last minute decision and so on. And so I'm pleased to be able to address that. I was aware that this was an issue that was going to be on our February 3rd agenda. This was back almost a month earlier than that, that Mr. Jones had asked that it be put on the agenda. And I had a sort of a coffee meeting, get-together, gab-fest with Missy MacArthur on the 13th of January, and we were, as I said, just getting to know each other and that kind of thing, which is perfectly legal to do, by the way, as long as I am talking with only one council member and not going and talking with others about the same issue and having a serial meeting, which is a violation of the Brown Act. We were in a public place and we were talking. And I said, we both were concerned about how the community was feeling about this issue of Reading Electric Utility, and felt that maybe addressing it sooner rather than later would help to calm things down a little bit. So I contacted our city manager later that same day, and this was a week earlier than the 20th. It was the 13th. And broached this subject with him, recognizing that, you know, it takes time to write staff reports. I didn't even know if it was doable, but I just suggested that I thought it would be a good idea since the community was in such turmoil about this issue. And he wasn't even sure it could be done. But he checked with our electric utility director, and it was a day or two later that I got a response that they thought they could do this in advance of the 3rd, February 3rd. It was not an intention to try to undermine the candlelight vigil. I think that's an excellent way for people to let the community know their feelings. I've participated in many candlelight vigils myself. I was surprised that people were upset that their elected officials were going to deal with this issue sooner rather than later, because had we not had this meeting on the 20th, we would still not have met to talk about it.
Right.
So I don't really understand the outrage about it, but I'll take full responsibility for it.
I just get a kick out of it, because every time you start reading what happens in the blogs and stuff like that, it just turns into a total mishmash of this and that, and everybody's dishonest. And unfortunately, I just was hoping that maybe that could be cleared up. I was sure that's the way it was, but I wanted to get you the opportunity to try to address that.
Well, thank you, and I do hope the candlelight vigil is a success.
And I do also.
Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Have a fine day.
Yeah. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio and News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402, and we will get to you as soon as we get back from our breaks, because the lines are lit up.
Are you ready for the digital? digital trans- KQMS.
Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott here for Free Fire Radio. That is KQMS 1400 News Talk. Right now we have a very special guest in the studio taking your calls. That's Mary Stiegel. Let's go to the phone and talk to Martha. Good morning, Martha.
Martha, you're on. Hello, Martha.
Did Martha walk away from her phone?
Martha? Okay.
Okay, let's go to Karen. Karen, good morning.
Karen, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. Earlier this week, I heard one of the callers bring up somebody, it seemed like, who is on the city council, that they felt had a conflict of interest because of some liaison between the person on the city council and I don't know if it was some other businesses. It was really disturbing to me if that is true, and I don't know that it's this lady, but do you recall that person and calling and that?
Yeah, it was addressing you sitting on different councils that have to do with power and electrical things.
Oh, well,
as a liaison.
It isn't a conflict of interest in my opinion. I'll explain what it is that I do if I'm understanding your question correctly. Every city council member is given assignments to be the liaison to various city departments. So, for example, Dick Dickerson is the liaison for the city council to the police department. And, you know, someone will serve as the liaison to the planning commission and so on. And it has been my responsibility for the last, I think, about 4 or 5 years now to be the liaison for the city council to the Reading Electric Utility Department, which means they depend on me to gather information and to come back to city council meetings if I have opinions or advice and present it to them. As part of being that liaison, I am also on the commission of the Northern California Power Agency, and that's a joint powers agency that oversees utilities like Reading Electric Utility, meaning public utilities, not independently owned utilities. And we are mostly involved with them in legislative issues that really are protecting public power, because there are a lot of groups out there that are trying to take public power away from us and put it all in the hands of private power providers. And so it's a really very important piece of our management of our electric utility. I don't see how it's a conflict of interest, because the city council knows I am doing that. I bring back information every time I attend a meeting. So I'm curious about it being a conflict. I don't understand that.
Well, I have a question then to ask you. Is there, and I guess this would be pretty hard to answer, but is there pressure put on you by these other entities that maybe not only when you say you help protect our interests, but are there times when, since you're representing the people who have voted you into office, maybe going against what the majority of the city would, the population would want done?
I haven't had that experience. In terms of the issues that we've been dealing with here, the abatement issue and the fines for late payment and so on, those really aren't discussed or a part of what we do with these with the Northern California Power Agency. They are much more interested in the legislation, for example, Assembly Bill 32, which is the climate change legislation, and the impact that that will have on our utilities in having to meet those requirements that the governor has set down for renewable energy by 2020 and so on. So certainly those decisions impact rates, and we've already seen that with a recent rate increase that we had. But it has nothing to do with the decisions that are made locally about how we handle people who don't pay their utility bills.
Okay.
Karen, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you.
Here's what we're getting on for our listeners that are writing to us and calling. It's that if people are trying to pay their bills, and you know they're the working poor, you might say, or not, maybe not they're poor, but they're, you know, they've they've lost part of their savings because of the stock market, you know, fiasco. They've, you know, they're paying their mortgage or they're paying their rent, and they're falling behind on their payments to REU.
Or they live from paycheck to paycheck and they just lost their job and they have nothing except for pink slips.
But they're trying. They're trying to pay. You know, I asked you know, the REU people, and it's not that they're not uncaring, but it's like one of them said, and I think it was Hamilton said, how long are we supposed to carry them? Well, to me, before you turn off the power to a family that's trying to pay, you carry them for a long time. And that's what we're getting from our listeners. And I agree with that, is that if somebody's trying to pay, why aren't we doing something to help them?
Well,
besides all these old places they tell you to go to, which have no money, by the way.
I know that. And I recognize that these are really very difficult times and people, and even in non-difficult times, people are in this kind of a position, and it really is very serious. One of the things, Carl, that I think that this community has to realize that there are times that government can't solve every problem, and Reading Electric Utility needs to play a role in helping with this issue. I really do believe that, and I'm hoping that we are going to do some things that will help ease the pain for some of our customers. But once again, we have to realize that there is a give and take in that, and you're going to cut me off, and this is an important question.
No. We'll keep going.
It's a give and take in this that that there's always consequences to everything we do. I think that, for example, Reading Electric Utility could share in some of this pain, and I'm hoping that that's what this committee might come up with. But there's a responsibility on the community as well to help with this. And one of the ideas I've had, and I've floated by the electric utility, is what if we set up a fund in an already existing 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization, like People of Progress, where people could make contributions into that fund, and that money would be available to help people who are in these situations. What if we made our CARES program available once a year instead of every 2 years? What if we upped the the amount that's available in those funds? I mean, those are things that we can do, but the community needs to participate as well. I make a monthly contribution on my bill every month, my utility bill, to the CARES program. Other members of this community could do that as well. Now, I know people out there will say, well, why should we? Reading Electric Utility is making millions of dollars in utility fees that they receive. Well, for every dollar we pay out to help someone who can't afford to pay their utility bill, the regular ratepayers are going to make up for that. That is just how it works. So one way or another.
I'm sorry, we do have to take a break now. But look, this is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio. Join us on the other side.
The Truth. Weekdays from noon till 3 p.m. on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Mary Stigl is our guest. This is Carl and Linda Bott here with Free Fire Radio. That's KQMS 1400 News Talk. Wow, we have just had, the phones are lit up. There's so much going on here with Reading Electric Utility and everything that's going on. Mary, where do we go from here?
Well, as I indicated a few minutes ago, Linda, I think that it's important not only for Reading Electric Utility to step up to the plate, and I hope that we will do that in some significant ways, but I also think it's important that the community step up to the plate. We have for a long time had the option for people to add a little bit to their utility bill each month. We have some of the lowest utility rates in the state of California, and to add the cost of a movie each month, $5, $10, would go a long way toward helping some people who are living on the edge. Right now, that money goes to what we call CARES, C-A-R-E-S, and that is overseen by Golden Umbrella. Now, currently, that money is mainly used for seniors and people with disabilities. But I think one of the things that our committee could look at is, should we broaden that? Should we, in this time, make that available to families and so on, families with children, not only just seniors? It is a tax deduction for people, so they can take it off of their income tax. And it's I think we could do a better job at the City of Reading in promoting this. We haven't done a good job of that and making it known to people that this is an option. I also think that on the Reading Electric Utility side that we might look at increasing the cap that people can get from these funds. It's currently $200, and it's only every other year. Perhaps we would raise that. Perhaps we would make it available once a year instead of every other year. And I know that this committee, and by the way, I will let people know that it has been selected. Melinda Brown, who's the executive director of POP, will serve on it, People of Progress. Gary Cadd, who is an advocate that regularly attends council meetings. Robert Meredith has been a very outspoken person regarding REU's issues. Charlie Poole is an Episcopal priest here in town, and Todd Slaughter is going to chair the committee. I expect them to meet mid-next week, and we will get started with some of these possible changes.
Well, I tell you what, Mary, thanks so much for being on the show today.
You bet.
And we'll be following this. You know we're going to be following this through our listeners. I love to see a community come together and work for something, and, you know, both the council and the members of our community to fix something that may not be right. And I think everybody agrees there's got to be some changes.
I think that, again, I'll say it again, it's an extraordinary time, and maybe we have to do something extraordinary for at least a while to get people through this.
Absolutely. This is Carl Nadeboff for Free Fire Radio here on KQMS. Y'all have a great weekend, and join us on Monday. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. What's your year?